Oh, it's a wet and rainy day out there today, isn't it? I don't know if it was raining the week after Jesus rose from the grave or not, but if it was, it would be very fitting for the context of our message this morning. After witnessing a horrific bloody event in which their friend was killed by a vicious mob, a group of people flee for their lives into a building, and once inside, they lock the doors and begin to barricade themselves in, pushing furniture up against the doors and nailing boards across the windows. They're terrified, they're angry, they're confused. As tensions rise, some turn against each other, but cooler minds persevere and draw them together as they try to survive the night. If I didn't know any better, I'd think that was a trailer for Night of the Living Dead. But it's not. This is the disciples. They had barricaded themselves in. They're afraid. They are hiding out. You know, they barricaded themselves in this room and nothing was getting in. No one was getting out. They had witnessed the most frightening thing of their lives. Their friend Jesus had been arrested, brutally beaten, and hung on a cross for all to see, and he died. The point of nailing someone to a cross wasn't just to kill them, but it was to instill, you know, and fear and intimidate the populace and anyone visiting the city. Often, some of the cities, the roads leading in were lined with crosses, and the bodies would be left to hang for weeks as a warning to anyone coming into the city. You get out of hand, you threaten the state, and this is what you're going to get. The primary purpose of crucifixion was to cause pain and put fear in the hearts of the people. And without a doubt, the disciples got that message. The moment Jesus was arrested, many of them fled. Peter was so afraid, he even denied Jesus three times. Mere hours before, they were disciples of Jesus, bound together by a common leader, by a common mission. And even though they didn't really understand that mission, it didn't matter because it was Jesus who called them together, Jesus who joined them together, Jesus who taught them, Jesus who ate with them, Jesus who walked with them. But now Jesus was gone, and the only thing they really had in common was their fear. They were afraid that the vicious crowd who arrested and killed Jesus would do the same to them, and so they hide. Needless to say, this is not a great way for a church to get started. It went against everything that Jesus preached and taught and practiced. A wise and learned prophet once taught his followers that fear is the path to the dark side. Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. And hate leads to suffering. The fact that the prophet I just spoke of was Yoda from Star Wars is beside the point. He was right. The disciples were on their way down the path from fear to anger at the Romans, anger to hate, and hate that would only lead to suffering. All within the confines of their sealed, locked room, or should I say tomb, because Jesus was free. He was no longer locked inside anything, but they locked themselves in. In that room, they were quickly losing their sense of friendship and community and fellowship and brotherhood. They lost that sense, except for the shared sense of fear, which is no foundation for a church to be founded on, especially a community of faith. And it is in the midst of this fear that Jesus enters into their lives once again. Once again, he calls them together, he binds them together with a common mission, and he sends them out beyond their locked doors into a world in need. Jesus supernaturally appeared in their midst, and the first thing he says to these frightened, anxious, on-edge people is what? Peace. Peace be with you, he said. Don't be alarmed. Don't be anxious. Don't be afraid, but be at peace. Then he showed them his hands and his side, and again he says, peace be with you. But he adds, as the Father has sent me into the world, I now send you into the world. And then he took in a deep breath and he breathed upon them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Now, there is a lot of debate on this topic, because if they received the Holy Spirit here, then what happened 40 days later? What happened on the day of Pentecost? And in light of Jesus' previous words about sending them into the world, most scholars believe that this was their commissioning. This was their graduation. They were graduating from being disciples, which is a student, and moving on to being an apostle, which is one who is sent. One who is sent. Jesus is commissioning them to go and to continue his ministry in the world. And so he anoints them. He doesn't fill them, but he anoints them with his Holy Spirit. And this is different than the full embodiment of the Holy Spirit, when the Spirit would be given at Pentecost and the Spirit would live in each believer and endow them with spiritual gifts. For the Holy Spirit had not yet come because Jesus had not yet ascended. And Jesus said that the Spirit would never come until he ascended. So this is just an anointing. Luke tells us that in the first chapter of Acts, that Jesus told them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the gift that their father, that his Father was going to give them, the gift of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus anoints them with his Holy Spirit and commissions them to go into the world, sharing the good news of peace and forgiveness for all people. That's what Jesus did. One of my favorite poems, I have several books on my shelves downstairs. One of my favorite poets is Shel Silverstein. And he has a poem called "The Unhatched Chick" that reminds me of the disciples behind these closed doors. It says, "Oh, I am a chickie who lives in an egg, but I will not hatch. I will not hatch. The hens, they all cackle, and the roosters all beg, but I will not hatch. I will not hatch. For I hear all the talk of pollution and war as the people all shout and the airplanes roar. So I'm staying in here where it's safe and it's warm, and I will not hatch." Friends, that was the disciples in that upper room locked behind the doors. They were in their egg, and Jesus said, "Go." And they said, "No, we will not hatch. We hear the sound of the people. We saw what they did to you. It is safe in here. We will not hatch." But they had to hatch. And Jesus made sure of it. No more closed and locked doors. People had to come in, and the good news needed to get out. The church needed to be born. You know, we hear all of this talk about not just the United Methodist Church, but mainline churches in general, declining in membership and church attendance. And it's true, we are. But I don't think it's really because the outside world has a problem with our morals and our values. I don't think they really have problems with a lot of our, you know, controversial theological statements or disagreement with tough issues. We're losing members because we've got the greatest news of all, the greatest story ever told, and we're afraid to share it. We're afraid to share it. You know, in the world, there's a lot to be afraid of. There's plenty to be afraid of. You know, there's the fear of losing your job, losing your home, heart disease, getting cancer, school shootings, child abductions, violence, you know, enemy states wanting to annihilate us. And even within the church, we have fears of, you know, many churches, can we pay our bills? Where are we going to be next month? How are we going to do this? Is anyone going to step up to be a leader of this committee and keep this ministry going? We have lots of things to be afraid of. And the temptation for the church in times of fear and concern is like that of the disciples. We stay behind closed doors. The natural tendency for any organization when it feels threatened is to focus inwardly on self-preservation. And when that happens, the main purpose of our mission changes. It's no longer about sharing the good news of God's peace and forgiveness and love, but rather it's about our own survival. And when that happens, we might as well lock our doors and turn off the lights, because nothing is getting in, and the good news certainly isn't getting out. And the church dies. Around 20 years ago, 20 years ago, this is going on. We're seeing this. Auburn Theological Seminary published a study called Missing Connections, and that study looked at four cities in the United States and the churches within. And it found out that the community surrounding those churches had little to no awareness of any contributions or engagements by the churches in their community, to the community. Let me say that again. The people in the community had little to no evidence of any church involvement in their community. No one had the church on a must-call list when difficult decisions needed to be made. And the study showed that it wasn't just those four cities, but across the United States, churches all over the country were still on the foreside of Easter, still staying safely behind their doors. You might be wondering if our church is one of them. Well, ask yourself this question. If First UMC Muncie were to disappear tonight, would anyone notice? More pressing, would anyone care? If we were not here, would it change the lives of the people in Muncie? If we were not here, would they have to go elsewhere and do other things because of things that we provided for them? If the answer is no to any of those questions, then we have to ask ourselves, why don't we? Why aren't we relevant to our community? Why aren't we contributing and engaging? Why are we staying behind our closed doors? What are we afraid of? I think one of the things that keeps the church from engaging fully is the fear of a lie that we've been told and we bought, the fear of separation of church and state. And there are good reasons for some of that, but they tell us that we can't be involved in the school. They tell us we should stay out of politics, that we shouldn't voice our opinions, that we shouldn't get involved. We can have a Halloween parade in school, but not an Easter parade. We can quote the Dalai Lama and Buddha, but we can't quote Jesus Christ. They tell us, stay out. Keep telling us we can't be involved. And you see, the more that we allow them to remove the church from the public discussions, the more irrelevant the church becomes. By not talking, by not being involved, by not contributing, we actually help the church to become irrelevant. What we need is to insert ourselves into the community, make the church indispensable, so that if anyone wants to say, no, the church can't be involved, the community says, no, we want them involved. We need them involved. We need to stand as Easter people, people of the resurrection, not people who are afraid of the angry mobs. Our scripture today fires an arrow straight into the heart of our fear-driven tendencies. The Greek word describing the door that the disciples were hiding behind in an upper room is translated as shut or locked. But it also means to close off, to withhold compassion. And there's a third meaning. There's a third meaning to the word used for shut, and it means to obstruct entrance to the kingdom of heaven. John chooses this word very purposefully because closed hearts equal closed, or closed doors equal closed hearts, which equal closed kingdom. If we don't open our church doors and go out with open hearts, then we are essentially closing the doors to the kingdom of heaven because we are the ones who have been sent to share the good news of the kingdom of heaven. And that is for all people who will put their faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus entered their closed doors and their closed hearts, and immediately it made a difference. He addressed their fears, saying, "Peace be with you. And as the Father has sent me into the world, I now send you." Later, with a little help from Thomas, he shows them his hands and his sides and said, "Don't doubt, but believe." And when Jesus says believe, he's not talking about a bunch of theological understandings. He's talking about trusting God. Trusting God and following Him when we are struggling, when we're afraid. Faith is an antidote for fear. And faith isn't a list of what we believe, but it's who we trust in. So do we really have faith? Do we trust God to forgive? Do we trust that God is bigger than our fears? Do we trust God is enough to open our doors and let others who are different from us in? Do we trust God enough to go outside of our doors and share this good news with those who will hear it? Do we trust that God is the Lord of our church budgets and our church meetings and our church services and our church conferences? Do we trust that God is the Lord of our country, and it doesn't matter which political party or which person is president, God is our king, God is our Lord, God is our ruler? Do we trust God enough that He is the Lord of the world, and it doesn't matter what other countries who wish to try to take us out, that God has our back? Do we trust that God is the Lord of our life, our death, and nothing can separate us from the love of God? Do we trust that God is the Lord of forgiveness and peace and love, and that He is stronger than our fear and our insecurities? If we can say yes to that, then what are we waiting for? Go and share this great news with those around us. Invite people in. But will we tell it, or will we stay behind our closed doors? Will we trust our risen Lord and Savior enough to follow Him out into the world and be His apostles, the ones that He has sent? The disciples believed, and it made all the difference. Their faith overcame their fear. They unlocked their doors, and the church became relevant, not only in their community, but in the whole nation of Rome. And within 200 years, this startup faith, the Emperor Constantine said, Christianity is the official religion of Rome in 200 years. To change traditions, people, nations, it takes time. And if the church is relevant and involved in the community, the change is for good and for the kingdom of God. But if the church stays behind its closed doors, within its egg, we become irrelevant. They forget about God. They forget about us. Jesus sent the first apostles into the world on a mission, saying, go and make disciples of all people, baptizing them in the name of the Father and in the name of the Son and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything that I have taught you, and remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Notice that Jesus still understands that they have fear, and He offers them peace and encouragement. I will be with you. No matter where you go, no matter how dark it gets, no matter how deep it is, no matter how frightening it is, remember, I am with you to the end of the age. If each one of us understands this mission to go and share the gospel, then we will be, as our mission statement says, a family, a loving family of Christ followers who live generous lives, and we will be a blessing to the people in our community. Friends, there is a world out there in need, and they're looking and they're asking for help. And if the church doesn't offer it, they will go elsewhere. They'll go to other organizations. They'll go to the government who don't share our morals and our values. And those people will see those groups as relevant, and they'll adopt their way of thinking. The church must open its doors and enter and engage in the community. We must be seen as relevant in our community. We must make ourselves indispensable to the people around us. You know, last year, our doors were shut longer than they were open, and they were shut by other entities besides us. But that was because there was a disease that has killed millions of people and is still. But that's different than we nailing ourselves in and being afraid to go out, being afraid. It's easy to be inside here and do this and say our words in the warmth and the comfort of our brothers and sisters. It's easy to stay in the egg and say, we will not hatch. But Jesus wants to crack that egg. He wants to crack open our doors, and He wants us to go out into the community. We here at Muncie, we've done a great job, and we do some things out there, And we offer them to come, but it is time for us to go to them. And we are working on that. We're working on visioning. How can we be involved with our community? You know, when I first came here, I noted there are 13 churches in this small town of Muncie. 13. And I said to myself, is there anyone left in this town to be saved? And, you know, within 400 yards of this spot, there are 6 other churches. My friends, all of them have empty seats. There are people still out there who need to hear this word, and they just need us to be friendly and loving to them and kind. And when there's an opportunity to share this message and invite, maybe not to Sunday morning right away, but to a meal, to a gathering, or maybe, yeah, right here this morning. But we are called to go. And we can do that, for our God is greater, and our God is stronger, and our God is higher than any other. And if our God is for us, then who can be against us, right? Who can be against us? If we will but believe in Christ, He will be with us to the ends of the earth. And friends, that's what Easter does. Easter opens the locked doors of our minds and our hearts, and it enables us to see what's possible in God's world, what's possible in the United Methodist Church, what's possible right here at First UMC Muncie, and what's possible in each and every one of your lives. Today, as Easter's good news still echoes forth from the tomb, we gather together and live in the hope that even after our long and faithful congregational history, that God is still bringing us to life. He's not done with us, but He's still raising us to life. It is Jesus who has called us together, Jesus who gives us a common purpose. It is Jesus who sends us out into the world. No more locked doors and shut windows. We have to go out with the good news, so that people can come in, so the church can grow and continue to build the kingdom of God. Amen? My friends, choose this day whom you will serve. Let us pray. Lord, this morning we are grateful that we are on this side of Easter and we know the outcome of things, that we don't have to hide behind our doors and our windows and our walls, but we hear your word today, sending through the Great Commission, all believers, to go and make disciples of other people, to teach them what we know, not force it upon them, not pound it into them, but just to lovingly share this incredible news. Lord, help us as individuals and as a church to hatch, to get out of our egg, to open up our doors and go forth into our community where they can see us and know that we care. And Lord, may we be a blessing to those we interact with. Amen.